Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about channeling the world around us. What is the past? What is the present? What is reality? An illusion or truth? We always talk about what is my experience today. You know, when we grew up in the 50s and 60s, we all knew what life was about. You get a job, you have kids, you buy a house, you have a couple cars, you're set for life. And hey, get some life insurance because you're going to check out, you know, when you're around 70 years old, all is good. Now we look at our year, 2019. The millennials, they have all of these concepts of life. They go out, they explore, they challenge people, they do different things. We look at others and we say, look at all these great advancements in healthcare. Still others, they're on the spiritual path. It's all about how is our consciousness expanding these days and how do we see the world around us? Or is it just on the four corners, little library, what we read in the printed books? Or now is this whole world and universe now open up to us? What are we going to do with it? Life, our existence, and what we think in our mind, we feel in our heart, and what we sense in our soul has really come full circle, and it's so different. Can we really see what our life is about? What is this experience about? What are the challenges? How can we get through our days? And if you've followed me many times over the past decade, we will say, yes, I've had those ups and downs, those challenges, and I don't know. I feel like one day I'm in a bubble, the next day I feel like, oh, I don't know where I am. So today, my guest is Catherine McIntyre. Her book is The Thoreau Whisperer, Channeling the Spirit of Henry David Thoreau. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It's wonderful to be here.
So, Catherine, don't you think you too have also have felt sometimes we say we aren't traveling by broom anymore like the witches, and we're almost traveling by spaceships. We don't even know where we are sometimes. Things have shifted so much and changed so much. I think, is it just in our mind that they've changed, or has reality changed, right?
I think maybe both, but I think there have been significant changes. I think they're going on all the time, both bad and good, I would characterize them.
Right. You know, I think, don't you think we would have never had this discussion even just a few decades ago? I think the idea that we're sensing and feeling so much more, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, a few decades ago, I would never have published this book. And you know, it was, I couldn't talk about any of the things that I now talk about in terms of my experiences with spirit and my awareness of energy and, you know, the past, the future, the present. Mm-hmm. You know, any of this, my ideas would have been just dismissed, and I would have been just written off as a kook, which,
yeah.
You know,
how many times have we all heard that word, right?
Yes. There's a real significant difference now in you know, this century versus what we were all facing, you know, back in the 80s, certainly. So, big difference.
Yeah, I think the idea of even when we think about angels or we think about spirits, we think about our thoughts, our intuition, our clairvoyant or our psychic abilities, or maybe mm-hmm. just the thoughts that what's really going on in the world around us and how expansive that is. And then there goes a nice strike of thunder. So I guess we're on the right track. we start to talk about these things and we find that people are still saying, I didn't get that yet. I don't know what you're talking about. And there seems to be an increase in mental health issues. There seems to be an increase in people saying, I need to have alone time, or I'm not quite getting this. I know something's going on, but where am I? Don't you think that, again, your book is really a reflection that you can sense something in your life, put it down in words, maybe give it a few years to marinate, see what comes up then, yes?
Yes. I mean, you can certainly do that. I don't know. I mean, I think if people are seeking more alone time now, it's because they know that it's important to do that and that they need to kind of decompress from the chaos that's out there.
Right.
You know, I think there's been profound changes, but I hate to say in a lot of ways they're not for the better, but mm-hmm. in terms of our awareness and our ability to recognize ourselves more spiritually than, you know, physically, and, you know, having a sense of no purpose in life, I think a lot of people have more of a sense now of that they're on a certain spiritual journey, that, you know, that they're able to talk now about things that they couldn't talk about before that might involve their own experiences with spirit or their own understanding of past lives, future, whatever. These things that weren't even talked about. Now there's a space that's been created for people to look at that, pursue it, and to talk about it more openly. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And I think at the same time, there's sort of a percentage that's out there that isn't doing that and that are you know, gravitating toward less productive activities, let's
mm-hmm.
say. And so that has to be contended with as well. But
well,
I mean,
the Thoreau Whisperer, I really find that what it does is you share your story, how you began with channeling and mm-hmm. being able to hear words and messages and put them down, and then to be able to relate them to a person, Henry David Thoreau, and be mm-hmm. able to say, is this a message that I'm getting? And really what you're sharing is the message of the soul. But also, too, don't you think a lot of us are having bits and pieces of it along the way? You kind of put it down concisely in the book, and everybody kind of adds to the story, and then mm-hmm. we get ourselves into a different paradigm. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, definitely everybody is. I guess what I want to say here is I think there are some fundamental truths at play, and that we're all finding. We're all following our own individual paths to get to those truths, and
right.
that's the most important thing. And as far as the shared message or the shared experiences, that's because there is this fundamental truth, which is, you know, we are spiritual beings, and
right.
Hopefully on an evolutionary path. And the closer that we can bring ourselves to Source, or what Thoreau called the divine, and the more we are guided by that connection, then, you know, the better we are, and the more it's like the more directed we are toward truth, and our actions are favorable not just for ourselves but for the whole. So it's a much more positive a way of viewing your life and what the things that you're involved in, and to realize that everything that we do matters. And that that we are able to take hold of ourselves in the midst of that chaos and really, you know, direct our lives in more positive ways if we follow that guidance. This was a message of Thoreau's from what he wrote about in his lifetime, which was to, you know, it was a transcendental view that you trust the ability of the individual to divine guidance through their own ability to go within. And he's saying essentially within each of us, we have that spark of the divine and we have that connection to truth. And if we allow ourselves to be led from there and not from these outside sources, not from the politics or the morality or whatever the code is of the day, but instead be driven by that truth, that, you know, he's saying that's the direction to go.
Do you think that the idea of actually what is truth, you know, sometimes when I see things like I don't watch politics, but someone had said something to me at one time and I said, oh, that is really cool. And they're saying, oh, but don't you see? And they were going off on this rebellion kind of thing. I said, well, that's exciting because what you're doing is you're bringing that up. But then we can turn around and we have a choice to look at it in a different way. Or to react in a different way, or to create a different response, or to go down a different road. It doesn't mean that we continue along that rebellion line. It means that, oh, we see the rebellion for what it is and say, mm-hmm. It's fabulous. You brought it up. So now we could say it's different to look at it. I always say to people on the show, I said, if you ever were around then in the 50s and 60s when highways were starting to be, put together in the world and, you know, in the U.S. and people were starting to go on highways and they would take road trips and people mm-hmm. used to throw out their garbage right out their window.
I remember that.
Yes, and there used to be signs, no littering. And now we're like, would we ever do that now? I don't ever think so. But they would be like, you're kidding me, you did that. So it's sort of...
it's funny to think about.
Yeah, it's sort of like... But what that would be is that something arose so that you can make a better choice.
Right.
You realize that you shouldn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now we're just flushing it down our toilet, though, and throwing it out, so we kind of still didn't get the idea of garbage. But eventually it will, because now we're starting to see pictures of it on the ocean. So I think that things come a full circle to be able to say, let's continue along it, and each time we'll make adjustments and changes, and mm-hmm. eventually it won't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, maybe. What are your thoughts?
Well, I guess my thoughts on that are, this is all part of the lessons we're here to learn and the things, you know, the steps that we go through. But the more mm-hmm. more connected we are, the more conscious we are, the more aware we are of our actions and the results of our actions, then we don't do things like throw things out the window. You know, we're driving a country road, like throwing our garbage out the window or anything that we're currently doing that's mm-hmm. that's not, you know, going to be good for us in the long run. So the more aware you are, the more awake, the more in tune, then the less likely you're going to do those things. So I think it's just a process of evolution again, or, you know, awakening and realization and becoming more fully ourselves. And then the behavior changes.
You know, about maybe 100 years ago, people were kind of, they went to the doctor and they would, quote, fix them, whatever it was. But also they had a shorter lifespan. Now we want to have a longer lifespan. We're commanding. We want anti this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're saying, but you haven't fixed these now complex or compounding problems that our bodies are having. Yet we still haven't come to the conclusion that when we were given it in the first place, we were given the body to decide what to do with it. But yet mm-hmm. we still are feeling the concepts of that it's still outside powers that have control over this entity.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing is when we think about our thinking and our ego, we say, someone else is controlling me, they're making me do it. Oh, that's the way it has to be, blah, blah, blah. And that's still feeling the sense of the false belief of the false God and following that. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that's where we're at?
I don't know if that's where we're all at. I follow what you're saying, and I agree that's true for a lot of people. I'm very anti-medicine, anti-doctor, really. Although I'm, have to deal with a certain amount of it as you get older. But I always believe in the power of the individual to heal themselves. And I had an experience recently with finding the right meditation CD at the right moment that was a meditation that dealt with healing and promoting the mind to heal the body, and I had some fantastic results from that, of just things like back pain and things that just went away after a few days of listening to that CD. And I thought, now how truly powerful we are as individuals, mm-hmm. as spirits within that body, to make an impact and change on that body, without these solutions that are handed to us, like the medicine and what drugs we can take or what modern medicine thinks is the way to go. And I tend to think that the medicine causes more harm than the illness, but that's just me being, you know, very holistically minded. I know there's cases when that's not true, but but I do think we have the potential for a vast amount of growth and change in that area where we realize that we really do have the ability to heal ourselves, you know, if we open to it and we know how to do it, and if we learn how to do it.
I think really health, politics, our minds, our spiritual progression is really along a continuum. And it's just where happens to be where the Lego peg is for the day on how you're going to conceptually look at it. You know, you and I might totally be fine with that, and then all of a sudden something might come up and we'll say, oh, my gosh, I need to rely on the other thing that I thought was not so good, or I didn't want to dance with it. And then we turn around and we dance with it and we say, you know what? The first thing we do is get over our fear of it. Mm-hmm. Second thing is we dance with it and learn all of its qualities. Third, we say, okay, thank you for your lesson, and I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. That's really the more enlightened progression that we're coming to, is that all of these things outside of us aren't always the bad things. It's how we conceptually dance with them, move through them, and you're on to the next. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe. In some cases, yes, maybe.
Right.
You know, that there are there is medicine available, and that, you know, that we can work with these things. And so I guess as long as we're staying on that, you know, true path, that spiritual path in the midst of that, then I'm for that.
Right. Can you share about, in your book, The Thoreau Whisperer, you also share about Henry David's experience when he talks about, you know, being able to exist in his world and being self-sufficient. I think that's having personal responsibility for your life and yourself and your world that you're in. In other words, you don't collect more garbage than, you know, put out all this stuff. You're not, you know, a very materialistic thing. You may grow your own food. You may be pleasant to the people around you. You may honor the earth that you walk on. All of these people are saying are now naturalists. They're all starting to get some of these concepts, you know, or, hey, the survivalist. That's what they're all thinking about. But really, isn't it also an evolution of all of our existences into one? Maybe coming forth and we're saying, this is, in other words, we could all of a sudden say, you know, man, you know, this garbage can, I've filled two garbage cans every week. I think I'm going to go down to one. And then I'm going to see if I could just do one garbage can a month. So in other words, these things start to come up as we are able to be in awareness of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, the more aware we are of such things and of our actions, so that we're not just blindly, you know, dumping our garbage into every day, taking out another load, not even thinking about what we're doing, but we're actually paying attention and consciously making decisions. And that's really what Thoreau is all about. That's what I wanted to say about Thoreau, is that, you know, these concepts of the being a naturalist and all these things, and the being aware of spirit and seeing ourselves as spiritual beings, these were the things that Thoreau was talking about in his lifetime in the mid-19th century. Right. So these are all, you know, long-worn concepts, really. And that's what I refer to them as, like, the fundamental truths. And that, for me, in my experience in my life, I found that this awareness was missing in most people. And I grew up a very psychic kid and very aware that there was this other realm and this other existence, another, you know, kind of truth or perspective going on, and didn't have anyone around to support my ability to find that until kind of later in my life as I got up into my 20s and out of college and then ultimately left Michigan where I had grown up and came out east. And it was definitely in response to a call I had to come here. And that began my, you know, connection to Thoreau and you know, kind of started lining me up for this particular experience. But I was following two paths where I was following my literary interests. So I was interested in reading all about the authors of Concord, but I was also seeking out spiritual understanding, and I was doing that in the New Age world. And suddenly when this was beginning for me with the channeling, which was around 2006, after my friend Brad passed, and that I I realized that this is the stuff Thoreau had been talking about all along, that, you know, those, the thing I was seeking on that New Age path was something that he had been talking about all along. And it is all of these things that we're talking about now. How do we be more conscious? How do we see ourselves as spiritual beings? And what does that mean for us, you know, in our lives? How does that change our actions? And when we change our actions, how does that change everyone else? During the channeling process, I had the opportunity to connect to what I believe was the spirit of Emerson as well. And one of the messages that he conveys is that not only are we affecting our own lives with our decisions and our actions, but that every act we take affects the whole. So it affects everyone. So he talks about the, like, if you succeed at something, then we all succeed. If you fail at something, it's sort of like it brings everyone down. He's talking about energetically in a larger sense of the collective, that everyone is impacted by our you know, successes and our failures, and also by our attitudes and our, you know, everything. So it becomes a very, I guess, kind of moving and kind of profound awareness when you realize that, wow, you really are connected. So if I have a bad day, I'm bringing everybody down, even if they're not in my living room witnessing my bad day. Mm-hmm. You know, so our actions are that important. You know, how we experience every moment is that important. So
today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.
You know, it's interesting. When I put out my newsletter, the name of my newsletter is The Ripple Effect.
Yeah.
And also, too, when I talk to people about health, they say, we're going to create your health web. You know,
yeah.
Your health is not your body or your fingernails or your head or your mind or whatever.
Yeah.
You have a web of health, you know, how you interact going all the way out around you and everything within you. So, yeah it is really an idea. And I think it was interesting. You said about being able to grow up, you know, having these intuitions. You know, I think a lot of people have those intuitions. They just may not recognize them. They may, some may shun them. Some may run from them. Some embrace them. Some, like myself, I just think they're normal and it's like no big deal to me. I mean, like, I've always been like that, so I wouldn't know any different. It's just when other people point out to me and say, ooh, you're this, you're that. I went to do a naturopathic bill at the state of Louisiana at the Capitol one day, and I was there in front of the board, and one of them turned around and says, oh, you're a voodoo priestess or a shaman, right? And I went, oh, God, you know? And then I had another person on my show call up and says, oh, you're a mystic, huh? And, you know, it's sort of like all of these labels which we wish to put on people ends up containing us and saying we have to exist only in that. And I think you and I are speaking about a life that's of all of these existences versus just one. Mm-hmm. In other words, great, I might be a naturopathic physician, but I'm not just that. I'm someone who sees something outside of all of these other things. I might be a voodoo priestess because, I had that in my past lives. I know a lot of my past lives. I can go to a certain street and it plays right out of my head. Mm-hmm. Names, dates, times, everything. So I think the idea of can we be open to all of this around us and start sharing our stories. You know, I can remember I was probably about, maybe in fifth grade. My mother and I were driving down the highway, and it was snowing like crazy, like we really shouldn't have been on the highway. And I turned to my right, and I saw a car coming, and I said, "This lady's going to hit you." My mother, "Shut up, shut up, shut up," you know, and it was like, of course she hit us, you know. But, and it was like, and I think back on that, it was so common, so simple to me. I didn't get all worked up about it. I just saw it, felt it before it. So I think to be able to say to people, are you sensing, feeling, what does your intuition look like today?
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand it? Can you read books like yours, The Thorough Whisperer? Can you say, I felt that. I had a sense of that. Wow, those words, I've spoken them before. I've written those before. I have a sense of that. That's really how we start to build up and see we are all connected. We are all part of each other, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, and we, you know, we all have such really, in a sense, limitless power within ourselves. So then, you know, it takes us back to the ability to heal ourselves, the ability to do, you know, any number of things. One of the points that Thoreau makes in the book is he talks about a young student in his class. It's a section called The Boy with the Watch, and he's saying, you know, this child, all he had was a watch to play with on his desk. He didn't have, he's saying, he didn't have an iPhone, he didn't have a, you know, whatever to, you know, throw himself into and to rely on for all the information in that. And ultimately what Thoreau's getting at in the passage is about the potential of each of us to do that work on our own. His belief is like, you know, the true advancement of society will be that within ourselves we do those things. We don't need a calculator. Right. We calculate it in our own heads. We don't need, you know, all that research because we've gained it. It's in our own heads. You know, whatever. You know, he's saying the capacity of the mind is there to do all these things ourselves, and we're not thinking that way. We're putting it into an object. And he's saying, you know, ultimately, the more you spend with that object, the more of you put in there, you're lessening yourself. You know, there's less of you here. And so that's kind of a profound passage. And
I think then what you're doing is you're objectifying your perception. You know, it's interesting because I've said this many times on the radio, is that after Hurricane Katrina, people came down here from other states, and they wanted to rebuild things in there, and it has to have AC, and it has to have a washer and a dryer, blah, 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 and all this other. When in the Deep South, I've lived here for decades, and, you know, it was okay that our washer was out on the back porch. It was okay that maybe we didn't have AC. We had ceiling fans, but, you know, the cracks in the walls, it was sort of like, yeah, that's where the air blows in, you know, it's no big deal. In other words, we believe that our perception of what health is, what a home is, what love is, what a family is, what being good at these things or holding ourselves out as such is really just our perception. And it can be totally different for someone else. You know, I even, I had spoken with a senator, it was probably about 3 years ago. He wrote a book on homelessness. And I said, have you been homeless? And the answer was no. And it was like, then why are you writing this book?
Yeah.
You know, and they were writing a book from their observation. And they wanted to go in and they wanted to reduce the homeless population. And I said, you know, when people are homeless, they are showing us that from their core, they can exist within their minds and their thoughts and wherever they are at that moment. It's just that we feel that we have to protect them and shelter them. So are we saying that they're showing us their vulnerability and we don't want to see it? So we have to, you know, cover it all up with a house and a job and you have to have clean clothes and blah, 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 blah. So I think sometimes when people are showing us their pain, their hurt, their suffering or whatever it is, we quick want to remediate, fix or solutionize instead of saying, can we be in that moment and feel it also, right?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting where we learn our lessons and, you know, how we experience different things through other people. And so I think, you know, when you see a homeless person and you know, that person who's having that experience, he's a teacher for a lot of us.
Right.
You know, so his experience becomes quite important. So that's when you start looking at, well, you know, is the CEO at a big company more important than the janitor at the local school, or the homeless man on the corner? Are these lives more important? No. You know, they're not. And, you know, the CEO is probably having the least, learning the least lessons in life. You know, I shouldn't say things like that, but I'm just trying to make the point that we're all just here for a different experience. And because we've lived many lives, you know, we may have been the CEO before. We may have been, you know, the guy on the street before.
Right.
You know, we're all here to learn and grow. And, you know, so I look at things that way. So I always think, you know, that everyone has something to teach. Everyone has something to learn and to teach. So I'm always looking at situations from that point of view and saying, okay, what is that person bringing to the party? You know, what are they experiencing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I teach them? How can they teach me? I think that's important to be aware of.
And I think also, too, it brings up the idea of what is a home. Are you saying, when you're saying they're homeless, is a home a building with four walls, you know?
Right.
Or is it a tree? Or is it under a bridge? If they're under a bridge, they're telling you, I have shelter, I'm fine. If they're in a tree, they're saying, in the woods, they're saying, I'm getting nourished by the plants around me. That's what I'm eating. I'm fine. So I think the idea of, are we looking for the home and what it provides? That's a bigger story versus saying the home is what they have to have. So really, when you take it a step further, you're saying, I see that person and they don't have a home, but what do I see? Are they seeking love? Are they seeking companionship? Are they seeking this? They may not be seeking anything. They may just be having their own experience, you know?
Their experience, exactly.
Experience is really up for challenge. I think is the challenge is the observer.
Right. And it's a very Thoreauvian idea, this living with less and realizing that, you know, learning the lesson that you don't value yourself by your possessions. You know, he talks a lot about that, and that's a very classic Thoreauvian message that you can do with less, and you know, simplify. You know, is his big message. So, you know, simplify. The less that he has for himself, the less he has to worry about. He doesn't like to have things on his desk because he has to dust them, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So he lived a very minimalist existence at the pond, and that was all he needed. So, you know, he had food, he had you know, a bed to sleep on, he had a fireplace for warmth, and that's all he needed. And that's all everyone needs, essentially, just to have the, you know, your basic needs of warmth and food and, you know, I guess that level of comfort and taken care of. And once you have that, then you're free. So.
You know what is the absolute biggest thing, Catherine? It, like, stuck out to me, and I've been talking about it probably for a few decades, is that if you look back at the old-time hospitals, they always had doctors that would help you and save you according to their paradigm, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the old-time mental health hospitals, they had a dairy on the property. They had a garden on the property. They had seamstresses on the property. They were what they are called self-contained. They had a self-contained existence.
Yeah.
And you think back on it and you say, mental health, and they could take care of themselves. So really, now we look at mental health and we say that it's this craziness. It's almost like they already had it, and we just distorted it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in other words, mental health knew how to exist in their own paradigm and in their own life. They could take care of themselves. They went out, they ate, they, you know what I mean? They knew how to create that community within that. But we're the ones who went out and distorted it and says, oh, no, you must be crazy if you can't get this. Do you know what I mean? And it's just, there's some sort of distortion there that they've manipulated the concepts to be able to put it in some other paradigm. Because, I mean, if you look at a hospital, they serve you horrible food. So in other words, they're not saying about existence. They turn around and they have issues within their own politics and their own paradigm. So that's another example that their mind isn't working. Their nourishment isn't working. And then you look at the hospital, you're pushed in and you're pushed out. And even there, you could get sicker there. Well, I guess your, you know, the way you do business isn't right. So if you really look at it, which is different, you know?
Yeah. Now, I have major problems with hospitals all in general and just the whole way the medical system works. But when you think about the way the money that is being made off of sick people instead of, you know, and is it really about healing or is it about supporting the drug companies? How many more drugs can we, you know, prescribe and what drug are they pushing this week? And I have some very negative thoughts about all of that. So,
right.
Which probably aren't
but
very
then when
helpful,
you look at the mental health thing, you're saying they knew. They had it.
Well,
they understood
in a way,
it.
I like what you described there with the old-fashioned mental health because you would think
right.
that, yeah, that is the way back to health because you would be addressing, you know, things through nature. You know, have
right.
the garden to go out in and be, you know, supplying their own food. And that seems like a much more healthy approach to restoring, you know, a mental healthy state than to be piling up that person with various psychotic drugs or, you know, whatever they might
right.
be doing. So
well,
yeah,
I mean,
it's a real off-track thing with medicine.
Yeah.
So,
it
you
is
know,
odd because, like, on the mental health thing, you know, they really, that was the first breach of it. They were still going to have the control. You know, and the doctors started to come into the mental health places. But they really knew how to care for it. You know, I think the idea of that is, are we going to be, as humans, spiritual beings, are we going to understand the connection of body, mind, spirit? Are we going to
right.
understand how to care for our essence as we are here in this human existence? Or are we just going to blow it all to hell in the first place? And I hate to say it, but we really, it's almost like we're just really, I mean, we're pushing that red button every single time and saying we're just going to keep blowing it up. And we're not coming up with another essence of doing something.
I don't know. I like to think that there are a percentage of us that are getting to be a larger and larger percentage that are aware and that are you know, pushing towards a better solution. But there's definitely a play going on. And, you know, I tend to look at that with every life, and Thoreau talks about this as well, is that, you know, it's like that the Shakespearean notion, you know, I'm not even going to quote this right, but, you know, every life it's like a play. We're in a play, and everyone's a player in the play, you know, that
right.
whole image. And, I mean, I look out, and I'm just like, well, there's a play going on out there. Where am I going to, you know, what part am I taking in it today? And then I'm going to go back home and come out of the play. And then, and, you know, kind of reflect on it. But a lot of people don't know they're just players in the play. And, you know, it's makes me think of lucid dreaming. You know, I'm a very big lucid dreamer. And sometimes, you know, you're in a dream, and if you don't, you know, if you're not aware that you're in that dream, then you're just caught up in fear, and you're, you know, you're just taken over by all the things that are coming at you in the dream, and you think it's real, and you're having all kinds of reactions. But if you're doing lucid dreaming, if you have that capability, you can wake up in that dream, then you're taking a very different experience, you know, a different attitude toward what's happening to you in the dream. And I would say that's what goes on for me in life, is that because I'm very awake and aware that I'm just another player in the play, then I just go out there in the world and I just see, you know, what are we doing today in this thing we're play acting? And then I, you know, retreat back home, and it's like, you know, I can go home and take the costume off and just, you know, be with my true self. And, you know, the more people are aware of that, then, and the more, you know, sort of powerfully we become as individuals, the more we can sort of change the course of where that play is going, I think.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I almost find that people will say, well, what did you do today? And I'll never forget this one day. I had this this person who professes to be a Taoist, okay? And they said, what did you do today? This is, I sat. And they said, well, what'd you do after that? I said, I sat. And they said, what'd you do after that? I said, I sat. And they couldn't understand the concept. The concept was that I was just in the moment where I was for the day, simply because I was just existing and being a part of the day. But I wasn't interacting or engaging in whatever the human drama was for the day. They
right.
couldn't understand that concept. And I said to them, I said, for me, at nighttime when I'm sleeping is when I'm working. I'm out on other timelines, I'm doing
mm-hmm.
other things, I'm gone other places. And mm-hmm. many times I will put my feet to the floor in the daytime and say, oh my gosh, how did I end up here again?
Right.
It's almost like I'm on a
morning. That's
yeah,
the first thing. I'm
like,
okay, where am I? Where, what's going on? And what,
right.
what am I doing?
It's
now?
Like the
yeah.
spinning wheel, and
yes.
you just get off of it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes, I know exactly.
So, like, in the nighttime is really when I'm working, and the daytime
right.
is when I'm existing to regenerate or nourish or whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as humans, they see quite the opposite, and they're like, but you didn't make any money. Where's your paycheck? How are you going to exist? You can't do
mm-hmm.
this. You can't do that. And it's sort of like, ay, 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 you know? And
yeah.
that's when you have that dichotomy, that separation of the human ego, mind, paradigm
mm-hmm.
versus being a spiritual being. And how
mm-hmm.
do you mesh both?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge, and the better we are, the more aware we are, the easier it gets to just sort of let some of the nonsense of the play kind of just wash off us, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just go on to the next thing for us and try to continue on our own paths of knowledge and learning and expanding our own awareness, because I really think ultimately that's the goal that we come here for. And, you know,
right.
overall, we should be, I would put it, a lot of people talk about Earth as a school, and the other day it hit me, that's not a good way to put it, because that
right.
conjures an image of, you know, sitting there at a desk in elementary school and being, you
yes.
know, whatever it was, being abused by your, you know, by your fellow
right.
students or, you know,
yeah.
whatever
it's sort
kind
of
junk we were
it's
taking.
It's sort of like you have to believe
so.
My paradigm, and I'm going to teach you because you don't know the right way. I know the
yeah.
right way. Yeah.
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 Well, whatever
yeah.
it was. But, I mean, I just think that saying that Earth is a school is like a negative
yeah.
image for people. And I thought it's not that we're come here to be in school. It's that we are here on a mission to expand knowledge and expand awareness.
Right.
That's, I think, the way it should be put. And
yeah.
That's what it's all about. So, you know, however we go about doing that, then that's what we should be doing. And, you know, Thoreau says simplify, simplify. I say create, create. And, you know, you can create in any profession. You can be a creative
mm-hmm.
person, you know, as a writer or an artist. You could be a creative cook. You could be creative, you know, whatever it is that you are drawn to. I said, you know, use those creative energies and be engaged in something creative every day, whatever that is. And it can be anything. If you were approaching it from that perspective and every day you're creating something, then you're on the right track. You know, then you're going to feel better and everything's going to be good. You know, it's just going to feel good that you're doing that, because that's what we're here to do. That's part of expanding awareness, expanding knowledge. It's like, what can I create? What can I learn from my creation? What can I teach from my creation?
Right. Yeah, and I think the idea of when people say, you didn't get the lesson then, apparently. I'm sure. You hear people say that, I'm sure. They're like, well, you mustn't have gotten the lesson because you're still doing it, or you're still acting out, or you're still
yeah.
Going your own way. And it's sort of like, Lord, you know, I think a lot of times people will say, but I am in my space and I am where I need to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not that fits your bill, or
right.
I think sometimes even to a lot of the spiritual people say, well, you mustn't be in the right space. You're not in the right vibration. You haven't raised up your frequency. Or they'll say, you have more lessons to learn or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would say to everyone, I said, if we're all on this paradigm, you know, here, let me just shift a little over to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that it's all out there, and there isn't a place to go or to get
yeah.
where
yeah.
we're going to hold perfection of light,
yeah.
where our souls are going to be crystal clear, where we will be 100% in perfection and reflective of the God that we believe,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I think that when we think that we've always got to get there,
mm-hmm.
and that is the only place, then almost that sets us up to always being defeated. don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I always say, you know, we are all here to learn and grow and all that, but we're doing it at our own way and in our own pace. And whether or not what you're doing today is more advanced than what I'm doing today, that's not for me to judge or even be concerned with. I'm just doing what I'm doing, and I'm giving you the freedom to do what you're doing. You know, and that's the way the attitude should be with everyone anyone who's doing that, who's coming up to you and saying, oh, well, you need to do this to get where I am because I'm so high up here. They're not high up there. They're not anywhere. If they were, they wouldn't be saying that to you.
Right.
Because that's not what awareness is. That's not, true knowing doesn't produce those kinds of sentences. You know, it just that isn't the outlook. So,
you
have to respect everyone's ability to do it in their own way and at their own pace and time. So,
but also, too, some of the other ones that want to remain stuck do use the same words as the spiritual people to keep you in their space.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like I was telling you before, yesterday someone had said to me, do you want some fried potatoes? And I said, no, I just don't want any grease. And they're like, oh, it's not grease, it's lard. And it's like, what? You know, and then I said, no, I don't want that. That's not good. That's not right. I couldn't explain it. But they were like, oh, what do you think? You're high and mighty. Do you think you're just better than other people? So I think the idea, too, is that we're having a lot of these conversations of back and forth where people are where they want to be, and they're vested in their experience. You know?
Yes. And the that their experience, I guess I want to say, you know, I respect their right to have their experience. I don't respect their right to interfere with mine or to judge me and tell me where they think I am in my experience. And, you know, I've had these kinds of moments with people as well, of course, as we all do. And one of the things I really have spent a lot of my life going solo is because I was growing up in an environment where I was constantly kind of being told, well, this is your limit. You can't do that.
Right.
That's not for you. That's crazy. Constant judgment on me. And I got this sense of, you know, I'm better off on my own because I don't want anyone else setting my limits for me. And, you know, that's what people kind of tend to do sometimes to keep you where they want you to be. And that's a very negative thing. So I guess, you know, again, it's just, you know, respecting each other's right to be where we are and allow each other to continue to grow and change. And I think I was saying, you know, with our earlier conversation that the, you know, if I see somebody and they're like, well, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go up this road. And I look at that road and I say, you know, that looks a little dark to me. I'll just still say, well, that person has the right and the freedom to go in that direction if they want. I'm not talking about them. I'm witnessing someone's going to commit a crime and I'm not going to stop them.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're, you know, going to go spiritually up a road that I, you know, might have experiences that I would deem a little too dark for me. But I'm not going to tell them they can't go there if that's what they want to experience or, you know, if that's the path they're on. I mean,
because I think sometimes when they look down that road, you could say, oh, that's I turn it around and I say, oh, that's absolutely fabulous. Let me know what you find there. And what they end up finding there is a flower in the crook, or they might find a crack in the wall, or they might find another side. In other words, you know, so in other words, it may be perfect for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a very good point. And that may be exactly where they need to go at that time, whether it be dark or light or whatever it is down that road. That's their direction to go. Maybe I've already been there. Maybe I'm not ready to go there yet. But that's for them to, that's where they're going. That's great. And I trust that they will find what they're going to look for. And like you said, it could be something they're not expecting or you know, whatever it is, that's their path, and you have to respect that.
In closing, I always share this on the radio, is that, you know, there's a person on each side of the big river, and there's a bridge, and the other person might need some help and support, and they are not well, and you're on the other side. And then you both walk up to the bridge, you know, you start walking on the bridge, and the other person starts to falter. and you continue on yours, coming to the middle, and then they start to falter, and then they may fall down, and then they start crawling to try to get to the middle because that's where they believe they would be saved. You know, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to crawl to the middle, you know, and then they fall down. And then you look at yourself, and I always look at this as my angel higher self, and this has always been the way I've thought of things my entire life, and is that you just continue to walk, I as myself, and walk to them, and you have some choices. Your choices, do you put your hand down so that you can pull them up? Do you stand there in your light and you just expect them to rise on their own because they will get this wisdom from somewhere and they will rise on their own? Or this is what I do, is I lay down next to them. I'll say, holy crap, let's turn over. Let's look up at the lights. What do we see? In other words, look at it from where you are.
From their perspective, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it's totally different because I think sometimes when we see some of the spiritual people saying, but I'm in my light, blah, 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 and they get it on their own and then they walk away, it's sort of like, that doesn't feel good. Or the idea that you're going to reach down and pick them up, that doesn't feel good either. And yeah. I love the one where I always do it is lay down with them and be
that's
in it.
Kind of a beautiful an image.
Yeah, you know, and I think sometimes that's really what your book is all about, is about, you've written and channeled about, you know, Henry David, but you've also shared your own experience, but you've also been immersed in it. So really what you've done is said, I'm going to lay down, I'm going to experience it, bring it on. So you've done this very same thing.
I guess so, yeah. A lot of the book is about me coming to terms with my own abilities and my own fear of it, and just, you know, finally saying, oh, wow, I really do have this gift, and you know, I really can do this. And that was an awakening in its own. And then also, you know, kind of listening to what he was telling me and kind of learning from there. So, yeah, so it was all good that way.
Yeah. And it's really kind of cool in a way when you get there, because then you turn around and you say, I don't need a label on it. You know, I know people say to me, what are you? And it's sort of like, I don't know.
Yeah,
what do you want me to be today?
You say that. I really like that thought about that, because I always struggle with that too. And especially for me, because I was kind of a reluctant psychic all along. And then I did go to a lot of New Age courses and do different things, but I never went in and trained to be a psychic. I didn't want to be a psychic. So, you know, I call myself a natural psychic, and I, you know, after this experience, I'll say I'm a clairvoyant. I mean, I've been talking to the dead since I was a kid, so I guess so. So I have a hard time finding ways to describe myself and, you know, the right labels to use. And I finally just said, you know, I'm all those things and more, but, you know, do I really have to, you know, list myself, just label one label and say that's what I am. You know, I'm all kinds of
things. And that's definitely interesting, you know, when you say that too. It's like, you know, I had a reading with an angel reader about maybe 3 decades ago, and the channeler says, the angels want to know why you don't want to talk to humans, because all you do is talk to us. And it was like, I'm like, humans, they just don't get it, you know, and this is decades ago, you know.
Yeah.
And that is true, is that are we really seeking out labels for us, or are we just trying to say, this is all of the aspects of me, and aren't they cool to dance with? You know, so I think each time we engage with someone else, there's a different piece of it so we could pull forward, yes?
I was going to say, I think by labeling something, it kind of puts you, it sticks you again. It stops your growth in a way. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and it really does, is because then people expect that. You know, like when people call me for like natural medicine stuff, they're like, oh, but you're giving me some other thing, this esoteric stuff or this philosophical stuff. That's not what I came for. And it's sort of like, well, which hat would you like me to wear today? So, it definitely takes us out of our space. Well, Catherine, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today.
Thank you. Could you
share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be wonderful.
Okay, sure. I have a company called The Conquered Writer. So the word the and Conquered, C-O-N-C-U-R-D, Writer, W-R-I-T-E-R.com. And that has information about me and also about my books. The book, the latest book is The Thorough Whisperer, and it can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the online bookstores, and then any local bookstore could order it for you. They're are links on the website that can take you to places to buy it as well. So,
well, Catherine, it was such a pleasure, because I think a lot of times people are saying, I don't know where I fit in. And the answer is sort of like, just as I said that just now, I just had a vision. Have you ever, do you know those sweaters that have those, used to be on a comedy show, they would have like little bobbleheads like stuck to your sweater? You know, it's sort of like, well, I really don't know who I am. Let's pick off a bobblehead, you know? It's like, it's sort of like, these are all the little pieces of me.
Yeah.
And we're all so diverse, you know?
Yes, we are diverse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of cool. Well,
yeah.
It was such a great time talking with you today.
Thank
because
you
I think
so
a lot of times people say, I don't know what or where or who, and oh my gosh. And how about the idea of when we shed our identity and we go, oh dear. Did you ever write the page and you put I am on top of it and there's nothing there? That's a real challenging day.
I was just thinking of the words I am. I mean, that's really what it's all about. You're just, you know, I am. I'm just, I am me. I'm here. I am spirit.
Yeah, not really much else we could put down.
Yep.
Well, Catherine, thank you so much for joining us. It was
such a
pleasure to have you with us.
It was it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Catherine McIntyre, again, the book is The Thoreau Whisperer, Channeling the Spirit of Henry David Thoreau. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. And it really is about exploring every piece of you. We're not just this head and this ego and we have a job and a da-da-da-da-da-da-da, that human stuff. We have so much more to give. We have so much more to get. We have so much more to dance with and just enjoy the journey. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.